Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Law.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour here on Thursday morning, and it is the holiday season. And a reminder that tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we're going to be joined by Santa Claus. He's going to be here in studio with me taking phone calls from all the good little girls and boys that want to call in and tell Santa what they want for Christmas. But as we know, the holiday season can be a hard time for some kids because, you know, sometimes they feel like Santa's not going to make it to their home. And the New Bedford police are trying to make sure that every kid in New Bedford can have a Merry Christmas. And joining us to talk about that is New Bedford Police Assistant Deputy Chief Scott Carolla. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And this is the holiday season. I know, you know, with the rain yesterday instead of snow, people might not be in the holiday mood. But down at the police department, you guys are definitely in the spirit.
We try to keep that spirit alive, yeah, whether rain, snow, or shine. It's something that we've been involved with for the past couple of years, this toy drive that we do, and, you know, making sure that we can help to make some Christmases brighter for some of the youth out there in the city of New Bedford.
And as you know, the kids in this city are, there's so many challenges to the families that are here that sometimes, you know, being able to provide those kids with a solid Christmas is like the least of some families' concerns, is they're just trying to survive day to day. So this is a way for you and the department to step in and help out with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of sad and unfortunate stories out there, Tim. And, you know, I was fortunate enough, I think you were as well, to have a childhood where Christmas was a very special day, not just a, you know, something to look forward to, not just another day of the week. And it's difficult for people who have grown up in that to realize that there are children out there that they don't have Christmas trees right now. They don't have any, you know, they don't have any presents that are coming to them on Christmas morning. I heard a story last week about a woman, single mother, who was living with three children, and she was bringing in sticks and twigs from the outside because the children were asking where the Christmas tree was, and she can't afford one, and she's trying to put one together with what she could gather. So there's all kinds of stories like that. And, you know, as police officers, we're positioned very well to be in contact with a lot of these people and these children and to know where the greatest need is, you know, so when we can help, it's really uplifting.
So you're conducting this toy drive now. It's been ongoing where people can come in. And how can they donate toys if they're interested in giving something to these children?
So if you have some toys you'd like to give, we have some new toys. We collect them at the stations 24/7. So if you want to go down to the South End Public Safety Building or headquarters here on Rockdale Avenue, you can drop anything off and we'll take it and we will get it into the right hands. We're also doing a toy drive this Saturday at Walmart. And it's going to begin at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to end around 3 p.m. So we're going to have a cruiser there. We're going to try to fill the cruiser full of toys that we can bring to our toy drive. If you make your way by Walmart, you're doing your shopping. I know a lot of people do this time of year. Grab something from the toy aisle. It doesn't have to be anything major. Bring it by the cruiser outside. I try to book Santa for Friday night, but he said he has a phone call to View 10 tomorrow, WBSM. So you snapped him up quick. But he's going to be there on Saturday morning. You know, we're very lucky to have him in the South Coast at this time of year for not one event, but several. So he's going to be there on Saturday morning as well at 10 a.m. And he has promised to wear his blue outfit because when he works with us, he knows that blue is our color, the police. And as a tribute to us, he wears a blue Santa outfit, which is very nice of him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so, and then when these toys are collected, you know, as you mentioned, you're working with these families. You see these families all the time out in the community. So you have an idea of who some of these families are. But what's the distribution process like for being able to bring these toys to these children?
So, you know, we have our offices that are contacted by, you know, they're coming to contact themselves with people that are in need. We get some messages on our Facebook page from families every once in a while that, you know, are asking for some help. And we also hold an event in a couple of weeks at a local church where a lot of these gifts are given out.
So with these toys that are collected, you know, this is a way for people who might not be able to give a whole bunch, but if they can just give one or two toys, you know, that could make all the difference to one of these kids. It's the difference between getting nothing and getting something.
That's correct. You know, similar to what we do around Halloween, a lot of the kids that attend our trunk or treat, they would not come out on Halloween night, and that is their Halloween. So this is very similar as well. The kids that we're collecting toys for, a good percentage of them wouldn't be able to wake up to anything, or they would wake up to, you know, a very, very modest amount, you know. So, you know, we'd like to augment that as well and help the kids that aren't getting anything especially.
And these are kids who, by the way, you know, they'll eventually grow up to be adults that will remember this, and they're going to turn around and hopefully, you know, as they say, pay it forward. They're going to be the ones that make donations and give it to kids to in the future that say, you know, I was one of those kids. I got a gift on Christmas from the police department, and I want to make sure I can give that same opportunity to another kid.
Yeah, we hear a lot of those stories, you know, for people that are in the community and out there doing great stuff that, you know, they learned this when they were kids. They were the recipient of somebody else's kindness. So, like you say, they pay it forward. And as a police department now in an industry where we have to recruit, we're also cultivating the next generation of police officers, you know. And if their experience with the police is that, you know, they received gifts from the police on Christmas and we were there for them, I think it's a very powerful image, you know, for somebody that might be trying to decide what they want to do with their life when they get older.
And it also shows that, you know, the police are members of the community. They're not just the people who are working to police the community. They're there and they're community partners and making sure that they are friends and neighbors to the people who live here.
That's very true, Tim. We are not an occupying army that is separate from the community. We are from the community. We are the community. We have all our police officers are, you know, segments of society, just like any other industry. And, you know, it's always great when you can help children out, you know, especially in this line of work where a lot of the things that you go to on a day-to-day basis, just repeatedly negative and traumatic. And, you know, for officers to be involved and be able to do this is great. And, you know, we need some help to do it. So if you can make your way by the toy drive, if you can bring a new toy by the station, you know, at your leisure, there's always somebody there to receive it. We will get them into the right hands.
And you mentioned you've been doing this for a few years now, so you have an idea of the kinds of toys that kids are looking for. Are there particular things that people should donate? Are there particular toys they should have in mind? Because I know I'd be walking around saying, like, gee, what do kids want these days? You know, my kid's 20. I haven't bought a toy for a kid in a long time. So do you have an idea of what these kids are looking to receive?
Well, no, because I'm a little removed from it as well. My youngest is already 15 in high school, but I'll tell you what. The younger the child, you know, you can remember when you were a kid, anything that you got was just amazing. You know what I mean? You can go to a dollar store and fill up a basket and the kids love it. But another thing to think of is some of the older kids, like there are some older teenagers as well, you know, 13, 14. They're in that boat where, you know, it's not really suitable to give them toys, you know, but, sports stuff is good. And if you have any gift cards, no money, but if you have gift cards, we will get those gift cards into the hands of young teens as well. So that's really helpful because a lot of times we're able to give toys to small children and then they have, you know, 12, 13-year-old brother and sister kind of standing there and you really have nothing to give. So the gift certificates really help.
And plus, you know, you ask a kid that age, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. So this way here, they can decide for themselves and be able to get somebody.
That's true. I don't know. Well, my kids are very descriptive of what they want. The list is there.
Oh, okay.
They're very decisive.
So just remind everybody one more time about how they can drop off these gifts.
Okay, 24/7 between now and Christmas, 871 Rockdale Avenue is headquarters. The Public Safety Building on Brock Avenue. We'll accept them. We will get them to headquarters if you bring them down to the South End. That's fine. That's 24/7. We have our toy drive, Walmart in Dartmouth, 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. There will be a cruiser there, and we're trying to fill it up. We need your help.
And it's that easy. You can just walk in and buy a toy and come out and donate it.
It'd be great. And you can take a picture with Santa.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing, and hopefully we make this the biggest year ever for you.
Tim, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and happy holidays if I don't see you.
To you as well. Take care.
All right.
That is Assistant Deputy Chief Scott Carolla, and we are happy to support the great work that the New Bedford Police Department does in all their community endeavors. And don't forget, too, that when you go down there on Saturday and you make that donation and you take that photo, you can take the photo with the officers as well. Not just Santa Claus, but with the officers as well. Because they are, you know, they're Santa's helpers that are out there all year long. All right. Well, 508-996-0500 is our number if you want to call in and get involved in the discussion. We've been talking about a number of things this morning, including that story I shared with you earlier about the, and you heard Phil mentioning in the news, the rats that have been apparently taking over a movie theater in Methuen where one ran over the foot of someone while they were watching Wicked. And what's funny, when I heard that story, and I saw somebody kind of share her Facebook post and what she had said, and I said, you know, imagine if that had just been like part of the movie, like a William Castle style gimmick, you know, like right in the scene when the flying monkeys are on the screen, we're going to have like little fuzzy things running around people's feet. They're going to think they're flying monkeys or something. But this was not a William Castle movie gimmick. This was an actual rat running across her feet in the movie theater. That's why I'm glad that I'm reclined in a movie seat now. Although, like I said, I find the Dartmouth AMC to be very clean. So not like this theater, which apparently, you know, had overflowing trash and all kinds of other issues that the health department is now following up on. But this is the last thing that the movies needs, is another, you know, black eye, another reason for people not to want to go there. When we're starting to see, at least in terms of the box office, you know, you get something like Wicked, Gladiator 2, you know, these movies that are bringing people back out to the movie theaters in a world that doesn't have a Marvel movie every 3 months. Because, you know, that's what was keeping movie theaters afloat for a long time, were these big superhero blockbusters. This time of year, you get the holiday films. You know, we're talking about a toy drive that makes people feel warm and fuzzy, but so does going to see a holiday movie. You know, oh, you're not in the Christmas spirit yet? Well, you know what? Let's go to the movies tonight. We'll go see that new holiday film. So I think that you've got reasons for people to want to go to the theater. The last thing you need are reasons to keep people out. So don't feel like just because this story that we're talking about is an AMC theater in Methuen, that this is an AMC chain problem. I find no problems in the Dartmouth theater at all. If I had a complaint about the Dartmouth movie theater, about anything, it would be when they have those special souvenir buckets, the souvenir things that you can buy for the movies with the popcorn and the drink. They need to send them more of those because they always run out, and I don't know that they have the best process for making sure people can get those, but that's my only complaint. Other than that, you know, the process of getting my tickets, getting my concessions, generally okay. But again, I also feel like it's run by a bunch of kids. What can you do? You know, you can only get so upset when something goes wrong anyway. But I find the restrooms are clean. I find the concession area is clean. So don't feel like this is an AMC thing. It's an AMC Methuen thing. 508-996-0500. Would a rat in the movie theater keep you from going back? It might keep me from ordering concessions, but it wouldn't stop me from going to the theater. I was lying in bed the other night and I heard some kind of scratching in the ceiling. I was like, oh man, what's up there? Because that doesn't sound like a mouse. You know, you know the sounds that a mouse makes. It's a little tiny scratch, scratch, scratch. This thing was a heavy scratch. And I was freaking out. And the cat's still not allowed to sleep in my bedroom yet. He still tends to go after me in my sleep. So I think now it's just like he's trying to wake me up to get me to play with him, but we're not doing that game. So I open the door and I let him in, and even he's like looking around like, what is this? What? I'm not even sure I want to take this on. And like both of us are kind of freaking out. It's midnight. I'm supposed to be in bed already. We're like looking around, like looking at each other, like what's going on? And it took like 20 minutes for me to say, well, hold on, let me look out the window. And there was just a branch with the wind that had been picking up already. There was just a branch that was kind of scraping against the top corner of the house. So I opened up the window and pulled the branch down, bent the branch down a little bit, and the noise stopped. I was like, oh, thank God. I don't know that I could have slept if I thought that there might have been something crawling in the roof that size. You know, a mouse, eh. Even a rat, eh. Maybe even a raccoon, eh. Don't care. This sounded like a bear up there. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back, and we're going to be going into the news in just a moment, but listen, I know how it gets this time of year. You know, you're overwhelmed with everything that you got to do for the holidays. You're overwhelmed with what you got to look for, what you got to find, who you got to get for, what you got to get for who, and who you got to get for what, and all of that. And it can really just kind of cause your eyes to roll in the back of your head and your brain to completely freeze up. But if you are trying to find the perfect gift for someone, or maybe a little gift for yourself, stop by the Potting Bench Florists and Gifts in Fairhaven. They're located in the CVS Plaza right on Route 6. And at Potting Bench Florists and Gifts, they have so much that they can offer. Maybe you need a Christmas tree. They've got pre-decorated boxwood trees, and they are absolutely beautiful. Certainly better than I would ever do when it comes to decorating. And it's a lot easier to take care of one of those than to go through the whole process of going out and getting your tree and all that stuff. So make that your little Christmas tree experience. But also, when it comes to finding gifts, people have trusted Danielle and her team over there for years to provide beautiful arrangements for every occasion, including the holidays, but also to help find that special gift for someone. One-of-a-kind ornaments, holiday wreaths, poinsettias, centerpieces, live plants, silk arrangements, or you can choose fresh flowers from the cooler. And everything ready to go home that day, so you get it taken care of, you get it done, you get to cross that off your list. Or maybe you've got some folks coming over and you want to make your home more festive, they can come up with the arrangements that you need, the centerpieces that you need, that'll have people leaving and saying, oh my gosh, who lives there? Martha Stewart? So stop by Potting Bench Floors and Gifts. Talk to Danielle and the team. They can not only offer you some of the great things they have around the store, but they can also create custom pieces for you as well. Then they have extended weekend hours to make it even easier for you to get by there this time of year. Potting Bench Floors and Gifts, 2 Sarah's Way, inside the CVS Plaza in Fairhaven. All right, we are going to take a break here for the news. Well, I'm going to take a break, but Phil's going to go to work for you. He's going to update you on all the top stories of the day. When we come back on the other side of that, I've got the latest on the Conjuring House drama. I know. And some of you were like, didn't care about this story from the beginning, but now you're wrapped up in it because it's just taken so many twists and turns. And while this is just a small update, it's an impactful one. So we will give you that on the other side. Phil, you don't have that in the news, right? Okay. But let's turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
More evidence collected in the killing of UnitedHealthcare's CEO. The FBI director steps down, clearing the way for Trump's new pick. And time running out to get those packages in the mail.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The NYPD says the gun found on the man suspected of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO match shell casings found at the Manhattan crime scene. Commissioner Jessica Tisch also confirms that Luigi Mangione's fingerprints matched prints found on a water bottle and a Kind bar found near the scene. She says the gun found on Mangione when he was taken into custody at a Pennsylvania McDonald's on Monday is now at the NYPD crime lab. The Franklin Fire in Malibu, California has now burned nearly 4,000 acres of land and is 7% contained. Los Angeles County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney confirms that 9 structures have been damaged, 7 destroyed. He says an updated damage report will be issued later. FBI Director Christopher Wray is resigning, clearing the way for President-elect Trump to nominate Kash Patel to head the agency. Wray was under increasing pressure from Republicans to quit now rather than force Trump to replace him. Wray told his staff, quote, "This is the best way to avoid dragging the bureau deeper into the fray," adding he would stay on until the end of the Biden administration. Wray was appointed by Trump in 2017. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has testified before a House committee over the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The testimony comes almost 3 months after the House Foreign Affairs Committee voted to recommend Blinken be held in contempt of Congress after a standoff related to him appearing before the panel to discuss the deadly evacuation in 2021. Chairman Michael McCaul said Blinken's appearance is vital as they consider potential legislation that would help prevent mistakes made in the withdrawal. A new ruling from a federal court in North Dakota will block undocumented immigrants from using Obamacare. A coalition of 19 states had challenged a new rule from the Biden administration that would expand health care benefits to recipients of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, known as DACA. Undocumented immigrants who arrived in the U.S. as children would have been eligible for subsidized health insurance coverage through the Affordable Care Act. The government is ordering the national milk supply to be tested for bird flu. Experts say this will help narrow down where the virus is spreading. Baylor infectious disease expert Dr. Peter Hotez says nationwide there have been just over 700 dairy herds that have been affected. And the deadlines are fast approaching to get holiday cards and packages in the mail in time for Christmas. The deadline to send first-class mail or to use USPS Ground Advantage is December 18th. Priority mail should go out by December 19th. Priority Mail Express items should be sent by December 21st.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics are home to take on the Detroit Pistons at TD Garden tonight at 7:30. The Bruins are on the West Coast playing the Seattle Kraken at 10 o'clock tonight. And Bill Belichick, of course, formerly of the New England Patriots, now the new head football coach at University of North Carolina.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
The storm is over, but some wind remains, and there's likely some cleanup to do in your neighborhood today. Still windy for your Thursday. Increasing sun as the day goes on, a high of about 39 degrees today. On Friday, more sun, a high of 36, and we'll get some clouds over the weekend with highs getting up to 42 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Something's going on tonight.
final. Let him get down from there. You're getting footprints all over the ceiling. You know how hard that is to clean? Get down. Get down from the ceiling. You're worse than my cat, Lionel. Jeez. Get down. Dancing on the ceiling. It's not made for dancing. It's only that cheap stuff that they make the drop ceiling out of. You're going to wreck it. And then once you knock it out, you can never get it to fall back correctly ever again. And Lionel Richie always going and ruining everything. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And as I mentioned before the news, there is a small update on the drama ongoing at the Conjuring House. And I'm not going to go through all of it again. Everything that's been going on with Jacqueline Nunez, the owner, and Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters, and his daughter Satori, and her fiance Cody, and the former general manager Brian, and the other people who all quit, and the DUI that happened, and all that stuff, or the alleged DUI, all that stuff. Without all that kind of built up the reasons why the town of Burrville was reluctant and decided not to renew her entertainment license on November 30th. Well, in November, it expired November 30th. Those are just some of the concerns, as well as her social media posts, which were getting increasingly more disjointed with reality and would threaten people, and the messages that she sends people who have crossed her and all that stuff. All of that aside, the bottom line is, because of those things, the town of Burrville decided not to renew her entertainment license, and therefore, starting on December 1st, she no longer had a license to operate as a entertainment venue. So no more tours, no more ghost hunts, no more overnights, none of that. Yet they still continued to allow those events to happen. And so last weekend, the police went there, and they observed people there, and they observed those activities going on. So they cited General Manager Paige Thibodeau, a 25-year-old who lives in town and works there as the general manager. They cited her, and now she's due in court and could face a $500 fine. But now they have also charged Jacqueline Nunez, the owner of the Conjuring House, with operating a business without a license. And they've also cited her. I'm sorry, they've cited her for two counts of it. They cited the general manager one count. They've cited Jacqueline two counts. And so now both of them are due in court on Monday to address those charges. This is according to the Providence Journal. So while it looked like she was throwing her general manager under the bus, and within the community, the paranormal community, and the people that have been following the story, there's been some discrepancy about, well, you know, she knew what the risk was. She still let people go there and operate. And so the general manager is just as responsible. And others have said, you know, well, she's not the owner. And I can see both sides of it. But also, ultimately, the fault lies in the owner, and the general manager shouldn't be paying the fine for what the owner was probably telling her to do. So we'll see how that all shakes out, but that's just the latest update. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning. Are you going to be on Saturday night, the Spooky South Coast?
So I do have a guest scheduled, so as long as they keep the date, I will come in and do the show.
Okay, so a couple of friends were asking me. And also, what did you say? What tunnel were you? Was that last night that you were under in Boston?
I wasn't in it, no, but the Ted Williams Tunnel in Boston did flood last night a little bit.
Jeepers. Is that the old Sumner Tunnel?
No, this is the one that this is the new one that they built.
Oh, okay, because the Sumner Tunnel was a real long one.
Yeah, that's also underwater.
Oh, jeez.
No, I mean, I mean, it goes under the water. I'm not saying that it's currently underwater.
Oh, no, I know that, yeah. I used to live in Winthrop and was born there. But we used to go there all the time with my grandparents, and we used to love going underneath that until my father was telling us that there was people buried in the walls from, because he was from Winthrop, from when they were building it. Did you know that?
There's also people buried in the walls because they didn't keep their mouth shut. No, wait, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought he was kidding all these years. And no, he wasn't. Yeah, they were buried right. They were buried alive, actually, I guess. Well, because they were underwater doing the, making the tunnel.
You know,
I don't know how they did that, but
it's something that people don't know or don't talk about that much. But a lot of older buildings, before there were like OSHA regulations that stepped in and, you know, workplace accidents had to be reported and all of that, there's a lot of people that are buried in inside the walls and foundations of buildings that were built, you know, 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's where you get all your, that's where you get all your ghost friends, too.
I'm sure that's part of it, yeah.
But anyway, all right. I thought you were in the tunnel. Oh, God.
I probably would have freaked out if I was in the tunnel and I saw water coming
there's
in.
There's no radio. You couldn't get a radio in those days either. You couldn't get any, nothing. I don't know if you can now, but.
Yeah, now they work a little bit better because they put like Wi-Fi in there, so there's better connectivity. They put in, you know, like now.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, sometimes I'll be going to like the airport or something, and the GPS will kick out in the tunnel. But you still get the radio stations. You still get some of the other stuff going on. So.
Oh, I know. I love Boston. I love going up there. But anyway, all righty.
You have a great day.
Good day. Bye bye.
I love Boston too. I don't love Boston traffic though. But if I can avoid the traffic or if I can go to a time when there isn't any traffic, I do love it. There's nothing like driving into the city and seeing that kind of rise up in the distance. I was actually in Weymouth on Saturday night at the Emery Estate for a ghost hunt event. And one of the things that I always love to do when I get there, they have a cupola. And I climb to the top of the cupola and I just look out because it's got a beautiful view of the Boston skyline. And you can see, I think it's the Four River Bridge in the background, all lit up. And I was like, well, that's what the New Bedford Bridge is going to look like. The new New Bedford Fairhaven Bridge, when that finally gets built, it's going to be that vertical lift style. And they'll put some lighting on it and it's going to look like that. And it's quite a sight. But then you can see all of the Boston buildings in the background. And it's my second favorite view of Boston. My first favorite view is when you go to the top of the Great Blue Hill and you look out through the observation tower and you see Boston in the distance. I've always loved that view. From the time I was a kid, we'd go there on Saturdays. That's a really cool perspective of the city. But every time I've been at the Emery Estate and looked out the cupola, it's always been at night. So that's different. You see the lit up skyline. And of course, being the holidays, a variety of different colors out there. And at some point, we'll have an episode probably of Spooky South Coast about this, but maybe we'll even touch upon it in the morning, about the way that these ghost investigation events that are being conducted at these places, not just the ones that I do, but that they have all the time, are helping to raise money for these places. And there's actually something going on right now. I haven't talked about it much because I'm still awaiting details and I'm still waiting like formal statements from the town of Middleborough. But the Oliver Estate, which is a building that the town owns and had been fallen in disrepair over the years and it was dilapidated, and they were ready to just raise the building and do something else with the property. And through the efforts of really my friend Christy running the ghost events over there, they raised enough money that I think they replaced the roof, they replaced the shutters, they've replaced some of the indoor plumbing, so there's now working bathrooms inside. They've done so much work there over the years. And now the town has decided let's just do something else with the property. And so they're going to be putting it out for bid. So that town-owned property could now become, you know, doctor's offices. That town-owned property could now become a law office that somebody could rent it from the town and utilize it, lease it from the town and utilize it. And they're going to be taking bids for what could be done with it, which means no more of what restored the building. And it's an outrage. I get it. You own the building. You can do what you want with it. But the fact that you're not factoring in how it was able to be an attractive property, which, by the way, you know, Christy wasn't paid for all of this. The people that work there with her, they're all volunteers. They put in their hard work and their sweat equity over the years to raise these funds, and now you're just going to take that and turn it into a cash opportunity for the town? That's garbage. And for what? You're making enough money to pay the bills over there. So there's a lot of explaining I'm looking for when that finally does get, you know, released and it's public information and the requests for proposals are actually are being accepted. I want answers. And I know, you know, Christy's too heartbroken to ask some of these questions, but I'm definitely going to be. Anyway, I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And that is Stevie Wonder with Part-Time Lover. But over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, I'm apparently a part-time taster because I sent Jackson from Fun 107 over there yesterday. He was like, well, where should I go? And I was like, oh, go over to Stevie's. And so when he went over there, you know, he mentioned that I had suggested he go over there. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's here all the time. He comes to all the tastings. So I don't know, maybe... Do I have a problem? I go over there because I talk about them on the radio. And I'm assuming that the people that hear it, you know, they expect to see me there because I talk about it so much. So I go over there. Plus, I get to try things. It's great. And you can try things over there anytime with the purple dot, of course, to try before you buy. But keep in mind that Stevie's is the place to go throughout the holiday season to stock up on all your favorite whiskey, wines, and beer. They carry a huge assortment of wine and whites, reds, sparkling, dessert, along with champagne, all at great prices. You can also stock up on ice-cold beer, seltzers, hard lemonade, iced teas. They now have the cocktails in a can. You know, the ready-to-drink cocktails. They've got those as well. And they have 17 doors to choose from. So be sure to visit their one-of-a-kind whiskey room as well. And don't forget to look for that purple dot to try before you buy. Some of the hard-to-find stuff that you can't find anywhere else, you'll find that at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, plus things you didn't even know existed. And I mentioned I went to the tasting last week, and I got a tequila that I had never heard of before. And as somebody who is not a tequila drinker, it's not something that interested in me at all, but this was really good. I ended up buying a bottle, and I went into a different liquor store yesterday because I just happened to be in the shopping plaza in Wareham, and I walked in, and out of all the different stuff they carry, do you think they had that? Nope. That's because you get that hard-to-find stuff at Stevie's. So stop by and get a gift card for somebody. Gift certificates are available, wine gift bags are available, and so much more. And also, don't forget to grab an ornament. They have some very special wine glass ornaments and other things, and the sales of those ornaments all go to help the Fairhaven Veterans Center. So Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Got to take one more break before we run out of time. We'll be right back.